Hello, my name is Marie Fisher. I'd like to welcome you to our Women on Wednesday program. Our theme this semester is Making an Impact, Women's Leadership and Community Organizing, which focuses on how women create positive change within their local and global communities. A few housekeeping items before we get started. Please turn off all cell phones, stay in your seats quietly until 12:50, and please be respectful of your neighbors. Also, if you could please fill out the evaluation, as we do use this information for future programming. There are also a couple upcoming events that we have, and there's more information and flyers on the back table, including RAD, which is a women's only self-defense training, and also the Women's Empowerment Series. In commemoration of National Girls and Women's in Sports Day, our session today is an extension of a program last night in which we reviewed the documentary Boxers, which highlights seven women's experiences and challenges as they make their way to the world's largest international boxing tournament. This presentation demonstrates an important and non-traditional story of leadership and organizing to support women's empowerment and equal opportunity. One of our presenters and the filmmaker of Boxers, Joanna Kohler, has been directing and producing social documentaries since 1998. A self-identified activist, her films have covered topics from exploitation within youth services in Minneapolis, activist work in Israel, Palestine, to female amateur boxing. Kohler graduated from the University of Minnesota with a Bachelor of Arts in Social Documentary. She has studied public affairs at the graduate level, completed facilitation training with the Institute for Cultural Affairs, and been trained with the New Mexico Media Literacy Project. Her other documentaries include Witness, Moving in a Mirror, and Minnesota Motorcycle Stories. We are also joined today by one of the film stars, Rebecca Gilgan. Becca began boxing 8 years ago and has recently begun to study the martial arts. Her passion is working alongside youth, helping to develop not only their boxing skill, but also courage, discipline, and the work ethic needed to be successful. In 2003, Becca became a USA Boxing Certified Trainer and Coach, and in 2004 received her official's accreditation. Along with her individual training and coaching, Becca has ranked sixth in the nation by USA Boxing in 2006. Prior to arriving in Minnesota, Becca was a student athlete for the University of Wisconsin. 4 years of division competition has made Becca proficient at strength and conditioning training. In 1999, Becca graduated with a degree in sociology. Overall, Becca has a life commitment to learning new disciplines, serving others through teaching, and creating positive relationships that build strengths. We are very grateful to have them both with us here today. Please join the Women's Center in welcoming Joanna Kohler and Rebecca Gilgan.
There we go. Well, welcome, and thank you, Marie, for the lovely introduction. And thank you to everyone for coming out today. Can I get an idea about how many of you, can you raise your hand, are you a student here? Okay. And are any of you faculty here? Okay. And then can I get a feel for how many are coming to these on a regular basis?
And I want to know how many students are coming because they're getting extra credit for their class.
All right,
nice.
Rock and roll.
Good decision making.
Well, I wanted to do a little bit of an introduction for myself and kind of give you a background around my filmmaking. You've just heard the angle of social documentary. Do I need to hold this a little bit further? I wanted to kind of let people know that the reason I started making films when I was actually a youth. And I got into it because I realized that in making a documentary, you can, as a filmmaker, you have the option to tell a story that traditionally can't be told. That oftentimes, if it's a non-traditional story, it's a story that is not told through the regular channels. And so as a youth, I made my first film about youth voice and stories around youth that are often not really, adults don't really want to hear. So that kind of solidified for me what was the passion that was necessary in order to actually develop as a filmmaker. But that's at the root of why I make films. And I think beyond that, I'm going to turn it over to Becca to talk to you a little bit more about who she is, and then I'll set up the clips after you're done.
Apparently, I'm a star. Thanks. That's kind of awesome. But the only thing that wasn't included in that is that I have my, after I graduated from UW-Madison, I moved to Minneapolis with a degree in sociology. Anybody getting a degree in sociology? Good, because you can't, you're not qualified to do anything once you graduate. Just a heads up. So then I went back and got my master's degree in social work. And my, did somebody give a hooty-hoo? Yeah, what's up? And my focus is in community organizing and advocacy. And so worked a lot in organizing communities and schools. And I've always worked with youth and women, young girls, really. And a lot of my volunteer work now, I work with the Arizona Bridge Project, which is an after-school program for young girls in the Phillips neighborhood, which, if you don't know, Minneapolis is, you know, it's a tough spot to be. And I work in North Minneapolis with the Camden Youth Engagement Project. So a lot of the stuff that I try to do is, in social work, we tend to do, like, curriculum, and, like, you meet with kids after school, and you do journaling. And especially with young girls, they want to do journaling or collages or art projects. And I'm kind of like, let's go to the gym and, like, let's beat some stuff up. And it's not because I want young women to experience violence. What I want young women to experience is their bodies and themselves. And it's different than how they walk around in their high schools and middle schools. In the high schools and middle schools, they're very much put in a frame as a sexualized object or as in service to somebody else in their communities, for example. So when I have the opportunity to interact with young women, I really want them to see themselves in a new way. And boxing, as you... Did anybody see the film by any chance? You saw it? Good job, okay. Well, you'll kind of get a sense today, maybe, from the clips. But and if you've been an athlete, you know, or if you've experienced something really challenging or difficult, you know that when you face something that's really hard, you evolve. You personally, your identity shifts, you change. And many of you, when you leave college, you'll be a totally different person than when you entered. And it's that same kind of experience. So I've kind of, what I enjoy about the opportunity to be here today is really taking a day off of my work. I'm a planning analyst, and I do program evaluation and research for Hennepin County. And that's gives me a headache, but being here today to just kind of step back and think about how important it is that women have opportunity to take some space to talk about how we help create space for each other to do stuff that we normally wouldn't do. And I would add that to really be grateful for the men that help us along that way. In the film, what isn't shared here are a lot of the guys who I sparred with, who beat the hell out of me, you know, in a loving way. Because, and none of you guys are laughing, which makes me nervous, but I sparred with men, and what I was so grateful was that when I fought women, women don't hit nearly as hard as men do, and most women might be offended by that, but they just don't. And so I was really grateful for my male trainers who, and co-fighters, boxers, that could really show me a part of the craft, the secrets of the trade, so to speak. And so I was really grateful for those partners in that process. So, with that, I'll just leave it, and we'll kind of hit it off.
All right. Sorry, I've been turning it off and on. I might screw things up. I'm just going to do a little bit of a setup around the clips that you're about to see. There's one clip that's going to be 13 minutes long, and then the second clip is roughly 4 minutes. And after I show the clips, my goal is that, you know, I feel like as a filmmaker, I've already had the chance to really say my piece about this topic. And after the clips are done, I'd like to invite you guys to move a little bit closer. Now, you may not want to do that. But to really have more of a conversation about your reactions to what you're seeing and what you're hearing. Because I think it's in the conversation that it's going to be more relevant to whatever you're bringing into this room and want to get out of it. And then I'd be happy to answer questions as well. And I know Becca will too. So this first clip, I decided to just let the first 13 minutes of the film run. Partly because it's the context that sets up the characters, but you'll get a feel for the diversity of who these women really are and what they're coming to the sport with and what their wishes are about going to this tournament. The second clip is, because Becca's here, I wanted to show you one of her bouts at the tournament. So you'll see her first bout at the tournament, at the ringside tournament. So I think that's a good enough setup. So just be thinking, be conscious about whatever reaction you're having. If you're having a point of friction, just mentally make a note of that. If you're like cheering at one point, make a note of that. And I just hope that, you know, you feel free to bring your comments to the conversation. So are you ready? Awesome.
life will be changed in 3 days. In 24 hours, my life could be very different. Very few times in my life have I felt like there were decisive minutes or hours in which your life gets changed. You know, things happen, but you didn't necessarily decide to make those things happen. It feels like that. It feels like saying, I'm gonna spend all this time training, I'm gonna go to this tournament, I'm gonna get in that ring for 9 minutes, I'm gonna change something. Because when you fight, when you're done, something is changed.
Everybody here wants to win. This is boxing. Somebody wants to win.
I've been around 13 years. I've been around coaches, been around fighters, been around different places. If I had the opportunity, if I was in my early 20s, I would have fought my ass off.
When he's pursuing you and you're moving around,
when someone hits you in the face, you know yourself in that instant.
Power is something that is only available to you when you have discipline. You spoke your mind, that takes discipline. And you graduated, you got education, that takes discipline to show up and learn something for yourself. Hard things, doing difficult things, graduating from high school, going to college, starting a nonprofit, being in a field where there's no women like yourself, those things make you disciplined. Discipline will give you all the power you need.
Not being afraid when I'm walking down the street at night kind of thing, because I know that I know how to fight if I needed to and I can protect myself.
And tell me if you don't understand the question. What about the culture in this country is hard to understand?
It's not about hitting, it's not about knocking someone out, but it goes deeper than that.
So who wants to read first? And we're going to go in the circle.
You're a boxer because it's cute or because it's new. And I think it's important for women to realize that you can be an athlete at any level.
I know a lot of people just think of women's boxing as, you know, cat fights and not very good, but hope we can show them some good boxing and prove them all wrong.
The first time I sparred, and Lisa was hitting me over and over and over, and I would not hit her back. Just couldn't do it. She kept saying, hit me, and I'm like, no, I can't. And then something triggered in me when she hit me. Finally, it was like I couldn't take it anymore, and I just unloaded on her. And she was like, yes!
To fight anything, it means what I've learned is it takes sustained effort, and it takes strategy, and it takes skill. Otherwise, you're pounding your head against a wall.
The thing about the ring isn't about what you take from it, but about what you come into the ring with. That determines everything. To say my fear isn't there and to ignore it would be insane. To train so that fear is negotiated and a part of what goes into the ring with me, it has to be, because it's going to be there whether I want it to be or not.
But a chance in a lifetime, I think. I mean, when did they ever think that they could go to an international boxing tournament and compete? It's like somebody telling me I'd own a boxing gym. I think they can train well together. I think there's a little bit of animosity with a couple of the girls, but and a lot of that has to do with, I lost the word, not power, but competition-wise, you know, between Becca and Amy. She she's a little bit all over right now, trying to figure out what's going on. You know, when you're 22 compared to the girls, they're 28, Sarah's going to be 35, and you forget that age range.
Because I'm 34, next year I won't be able to compete with the same bracket of females.
This is a woman that, at 27, found her birth mother in Korea and went to meet her by herself. That's intense. And she has always taken those challenges and moved head on towards them.
Anytime women get together and go against the mainstream, there's always people that have a problem with it. I mean, that's just the way it is. Other women have a problem with it. Some men have a problem with it.
Obviously, I think that I get off on like saying, yeah, my wife's a boxer, because I think it's really cool. They value the sport of boxing as almost an art form, you know, and so when I say that she's a boxer, I don't know if people necessarily know that I'm saying it from that perspective. You know, they might think, oh, she's some crazy woman that gets in the ring and pummels people.
Some people think it's cool. And then you always get the people that are like, oh, show me what you can do.
At least my male friends, at the beginning, it was kind of a surprise and they couldn't believe it. Every time we talk, they make fun of me, you know, because Amy is a boxer. You know, if I don't go out, for example, they say, oh, yeah, she's going to beat you up if you go out, right?
So now when I'm in with the boys club, I know how to conduct myself and I know when I'm gonna take it to the next level. Like if they get in my face, okay, I'll let you get so far and then I'm gonna get in your face. Well, Sports Illustrated wants to shoot in your gym. I'm like, what? You know, Sarah's like, how much do I charge them? And I started laughing. I'm like, you know, Sarah, we're probably just gonna let him use the gym because it might make the cover, which is a big, you know, they said it really has the opportunity to make a cover. And she's like, oh, but should we charge him anyways? And I thought, you know, maybe.
But I don't know what to shoot just for, you know, like what are they saying, what they're selling, what they're, and having a female knock down on the ground while a guy's sitting.
It would be cute if we got a girl boxing. It would be a good shot if we got a girl, you know, with cute shorts on and cute hair doing something cute with a boxing glove, you know? It was really, it was kind of insulting. It was like really not being taken seriously.
But I definitely make a shift into another aspect or part of myself that I use to compete. A necessary release of energy that builds up inside of me that if I don't do it in boxing, I've got to do it somehow. And for me, it's healthy to do it in a physical way, whether it's running around the lakes or it's in the gym boxing or dancing or something. I need to
more. Stay busy. It's gonna hurt for a long, long time. It'll be fun. What I told Becca the other day was, I'm not afraid. I'm not concerned about your conditioning because you guys are here and you're doing the work.
Lots more sparring. Triple the sprints that I'm doing now. So sprints 3 times a week. Run 5 times a week.
As soon as they put their hands down and you've got them once or twice, you just go.
So when you're in the ring, all you know is when the bell rings, if you don't know that other person across from you, is that your intention is to go in there and win the fight.
Say things like, I'm doing this for my family, I'm doing this for my kids. And I always say to myself, like, you know, I don't think it's selfish to say, you know, well, what does it mean to you? When you get hit in the face, you're okay with it because it's for your kids. You know, you're gonna jeopardize your safety for somebody else. That's really noble, but I think it's much harder to say, I'm gonna do all of that because I wanna see how far I can push myself. I wanna see when push comes to shove, what's gonna come out of me. Thank you.
I need to start going like 3 times a week because
Amy and I were talking about we should designate one person while sparring, like to be the
opponent, no, like and change your style.
I can
change around your style of fighting.
And like
so that so that the person gets a different look.
Amy, when she started to train a lot, I knew she'd be a good fighter.
When we train in the ring with each other, it's a balance between letting loose but also working with the other person. So we're not in there to hurt each other, but we're in there to learn. But at some point, you do kind of let loose a little bit. And you have to. You have to know what that feels like before you get in the ring. Because otherwise, if you just go into a fight without having experienced that yet, then you're going to lose control. You'll lose control.
Yeah, nice. That's sweet ass rotation. Pop, pop, pop.
When they were done sparring, were you able to give them pointers on what you saw? Or
I tried a little bit in the ring.
Could they take that correction or
not? Yeah. You know, all of them are good boxers.
One, two, three, four.
One of them got me in the corner and then deliberately backed off to be nice.
But you have to learn to take off that hat when you put on the gloves and spar.
People ask me, well, how'd you get interested? I don't know. I can't tell you how many times I've been asked that question. And a lot of times I just answer the same old way because it's just easier. Well, I always wanted to try something new and I saw it on TV and I thought it would be interesting and blah, 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 blah. And I think what it really also came down to is I was tired of being afraid. I was tired of being, you know, when I was in school, whatever, harassed by the guys. And, you know, even they don't understand that when you're this big, doesn't matter. If you're harassed by a guy, it doesn't go away. You will always remember that in the back of your head. And it can be very, oh, I'm going to start to cry. It can be very empowering to think I don't have to take that shit anymore.
When my hands are wrapped, I go down a tunnel, and that tunnel takes me to my fight. But for me, there's that process, and the way Lisa does it is so energetically, like, about preparation and about focus and about right now. I can't know what my opponent's gonna do, but I can know how it's gonna feel when I'm responding and reacting and fighting the way that I wanna fight. You know, I tried to go and scout and see the girl warming up and tell her, it turned out to be what I thought. I was like, it's going to be like you're fighting yourself in there because she looks, when she throws her punches and she moves, she looks like you.
Like, I got no problem with the working hard part, right? That's where a lot of my energy goes. But I don't often give myself the time to vision about what absolute success would look like. Like, I worked really hard to get my master's degree. And I started talking about, okay, well, what does that mean to have that? Well, you gotta move forward in your career. Well, when that actually, became a reality, when I did move forward in my career, I realized how shocking it was to make that transition to something great.
I think just being there as a coach with them was really cool, especially cornering with Becca.
Amy is my best friend and I love her, and I think that it was really hard for me, and I told Lisa this, it was really hard for me, it'd be really hard for me to have Amy in my corner.
You know, is it beneficial for her to have me in the corner when, you know, I haven't been her coach?
Where it's like, if I'm hurt, is she gonna know what to do? Or is she gonna be worried about me being hurt? No, I couldn't have that be blurry at that moment. Like, I just worked way too hard to have that moment of, you know, like, okay, if something goes wrong, you know, how are we gonna react to each other?
I got it.
And then when we started, her jab was hard. And I was like, okay, I gotta respect the jab, like, because behind the hard jab is an even harder cross.
Hook, cross, perfect combination, scoring all three. Work that body a little bit, double up that jab. You're dropping your right hand just enough, and your face is right there, that's why she's scoring.
In order for me to have the confidence that I really need to win the tournament, to win my first fight, is to know that all the training that I've done in the last 4 years amounts to the kind of confidence that I need.
I think Becca brought cookies for everybody. So I want to just kind of open it up and give you guys a chance that if anybody, you know, has a reaction to, you know, or something that caught your attention about those two clips. And I hope you could tell the difference between the two clips, like when we clearly jumped. I was realizing I should have probably said clip two. But if there was a something that stood out to anybody. Yeah. You could hit somebody you know. Yeah. Do you want to repeat her question too?
Yeah. I kind of want to like do the give you the mic thing. But what is it like hitting another woman? You were kind of shocked by that. It's interesting because as I was watching this, I thought to myself, I work in a very large bureaucracy, and I think women hit each other all the time. They just don't use their hands. And when I said it takes sustained effort, skill, and strategy. And I remember some of the organizing projects that I've done, and that's exactly what it takes to organize. And I kept thinking that we all need to know how to fight. Women don't learn how to fight. We don't learn how to hit each other in a way that we've agreed to hit each other. We hit each other and be like, girl, I'm gonna kill you and your family and your brother and all this. And we get mean about it and we internalize the fight as a personal thing. So when I hit those women and when they hit me, it's not personal. We've agreed to be in that ring together to fight that fight. In the same way that like Hillary and Barack, they fought that fight. And they fought it in a certain way, but they agreed. They had some rules, you know. But you've seen other political contests that are just ugly because it's personal. And that's, for me, the takeaway is that, you know, learning how to fight is essential. And we don't have, like, how to fight 101. We don't learn how to do that, really. And women don't teach us. Our moms don't. Well, my mom didn't. Maybe your mom did, but she didn't teach me how to fight. Not really. So I got ran over a lot, kind of handled in life until, you know, some things changed. That's an interesting. So now it doesn't bug me. Mm-mm. And actually, I kind of respect a woman that can clock me because I can take some hard hits. And when a woman is willing to actually engage, like to bring her full self, I have a lot of respect for a person like that.
Yeah, it was, so the question, and I'm sure you guys can all hear us, but there's a podcast, so I'm repeating even if you can hear it. So the question was about the Sports Illustrated article and really what was going on with that scene. And it was an ex-pro boxer, Roberto Duran, had started a music career, and so Sports Illustrated was doing a photo shoot of him singing inside the boxing ring. And because there were women boxers at the gym, they decide, wouldn't it be great that his singing is so good that he's like knocked out this woman on the canvas, on the floor. And so that's kind of how the whole thing got started.
You know, Gina was who was in the ring. And we all make our own choices about how we want to be. Gina's cool with that, so I'm cool with whatever Gina wants to do. It's her image, it's how she wants to be portrayed in the world. And so, you know, men taking advantage of women doesn't bother me because it happens all the time, everywhere. And if I let if I got emotional about that, then I couldn't do the other work that I know it takes to really fight sexism. Cause if you've ever had an issue with a dude, as soon as you'd be like, "Oh, that's not fair," they're like, "See, you're emotional." So, you know, you kind of got to pick your battles about that. But.
It definitely didn't make the cover. But as far as I know, it didn't get published. It could have, and I didn't know that.
I'm sure they said it was going to make the cover so that Lisa wouldn't charge them. You know, like, it'll make the cover. Other reactions from the dude in the audience?
No pressure.
No pressure here, but I like your Carhartt action.
Over here, yeah.
Yes. And I noticed with many of the Latina girls that I work with, especially, I mean, their brothers can be, you can be, you know, a fabulous Mexican boxer if you're a dude. Yeah. But for girls, it's just absolutely not a role that's allowed. And so they tend to be the girls that honestly, I don't know how to say this without being stereotypical. I think they really struggle with understanding their relationship to men outside of a sexual relationship. That even at 13, it's about my boyfriend and who am I in relationship to him or in relationship to my mom or my dad in their marriage. So I think it hugely depends on culture. And just trying to think, you know, other cultures like Rachel's native, you know, for her and her family, that's great. She really came to it with a sense of family support that is, that's good, that's fine. Be a warrior, do your thing. Fight the fight.
Were there places where you were, like, you felt, I mean, you know the shock comment earlier, but where you like who you are was in friction with what you were saying, where that you didn't like what you were saying. I can ask the reverse question, yeah.
I was just like, that's amazing. And so I guess, you know, there was no conflict at all. I was totally jazzed about it. So just the other spectrum.
And I guess I had my image of taking that. You know, maybe I can do some other things, but I can't say that.
Do you want to talk a little bit about because this came up last night too, the progression that you, I mean, I don't know if you, but I know that some of the boxers, when they got in the ring, it was not natural for them to hit somebody else. Was it for you?
Yes.
But I would say I think it's a common experience that it's not.
Uh-huh. No. I don't. I think some people, and later on in the, I think some people grow up in a way where there is no stop button. Like you fight and you will win. I come from a negotiating family. So I'm like, let's fight unless I'm done, unless you win. And then I'm done. Like there's a part for me where it's like, I don't need to kill you and I don't want to be killed. So I'll stop. But people come at it kind of how much their survival mentality they bring into the ring depends on how they fight. Yeah. But, you know, all of those women, you know, they're not born fighters, with the exception of Rachel. She's a killer. But all of us learned how to do this stuff. I mean, boxing is just a series of maneuvers like any other sport. It's a series of technical skills that when you put together and you have the right experiences and the training, you can master the discipline. It's not rocket science.
I know I sparred and worked out a little bit while I was making this film. And I know that for me, it was a lot easier to get hit. Like I didn't have a problem getting hit because I could absorb it and it didn't bother me. What bothered me was that, did I have the stop button? Like, was I willing to hit the other person because I didn't know that I would stop? And so it was great for me, and a fascination for me about the sport was that exploring that for myself in an environment that is not out in the world, you know, that is not like, I'm not going to get arrested. You know, I'm not going to seriously damage somebody that hasn't agreed to do this with me. You know, like that, so that I can negotiate that, and now, you know, I can interact with people, and if it gets amped up to that level or not, there's so much more confidence about knowing how to control that, how to bring the level that I want to bring, and how to bring it back down when I don't want to bring that level, and that I'm not stuck there on. And that's that's invaluable for me in boxing, but in, I think, so many other things. I mean, even the when Becca brought up that women attack each other in bureaucracies or all over, and I think that's very true. I mean, in this, it's like, to me, it's coming straight in front of you, and everybody's agreed to be there. Otherwise, I think that women are, we are some psychologically masterful people. And those hits can come from every direction, and you don't even know which woman sent it to you. You know, and to be able to negotiate that, realize that when you realize, something just happened. You know, and to be able to feel like you can present yourself to it, but that you aren't going to go out and try to, like, ruin that woman's career. You know, like that there's a negotiation about it doesn't have to be, you know, a do or die kind of situation.
Yeah,
I think you mentioned like the self-defense class. Every woman should take that because 90% of boxing or any martial arts is defense. If you can't defend yourself, you're screwed. I mean, because then you just get pummeled. You can't protect yourself. And when you actually know how to defend yourself, God, the shift is just amazing. Your fear, dissipates. And it means something different than to be in the ring. If you have I've had some opponents that had no defense. And a couple of them were knocked unconscious. And I was actually more angry at her coach for putting her in the ring without the proper defensive skills. Because I thought she and I had an agreement about boxing together, and she didn't. She was talked into, oh yeah, you're ready. She wasn't ready, you know? So, and it ended up poorly for them. And that's one of the primary reasons I've retired from boxing, is that I find that the opponents that I face are ill-prepared. And because I've gotten to a skill level, not that I'm like phenomenal, but I'm good enough that I can hurt somebody. And that's my responsibility to say, all right, structurally, the sport of boxing does not prepare women for the ring, and I am not going to be part of a structure of hurting other young women. And knowing the defense, back to knowing the defense piece, that's what it's all about in my mind, even with people in our personal lives. You know, half of the time, if somebody comes at you, all it really takes is for you to just step to the side and let that person freak out or steamroll or do what they have to do, but to not engage it, just let it go by. But we don't learn that stuff. It's harder for women to learn that, because we're afraid of being thought that we're too tough or unruly or, God forbid, lesbians if we learn how to fight, you know? But it's convenient that our culture would tell us that to learn how to fight is a negative thing. I mean, it perpetually keeps us in a state of, holy shit, what do I do? You know? But if you learn those things, it shifts how men and women relate together in, I think, a much more positive way. My relationship with my male coworkers is great. They're not afraid of me, and I'm not afraid of them. We have an equal relationship. You know, other women's relationships with men, I think, when you don't know how to defend yourself and you don't know how to fight, they don't know how to, men don't know how to respond to you, really.
Well, they have a lot to talk about, too. I mean, you know, many is the time that you will get in a conversation with guys about boxing, and they're
That's
just
right.
so excited a woman will talk to them about boxing.
I had a supervisor tell me one time, because he did martial arts. Anybody do martial arts? No? Yeah? A little bit? And he was in the military, and he's like, oh, okay, I got to show you this move. And so he's showing me this, like, takedown move in the office, right? And Latricia, our secretary, walks by, and she's like, and just, like, kept walking. And I just, like, it cracked me up, because it's a way that he and I could have a relationship that was really unique, but...
You know, I also think that there's a level of, we need to fine-tune our skills, and not just in something like boxing, but as a culture, and understanding when a situation is a sign of somebody being victimized, and when is it a situation like, if, you know, if somebody walked up on that, you know, where a man is taking down a woman in the office, like, all the red flags go off, like, oh, he's abusing her, or, you know, or that's the only image that is for that. There's no sense of play. You know, there's no sense of, like, there's no further assessment of what, how do you identify if that is a powerless situation? And I think that, you know, I think that's just the next step. I mean, I think it's taken a lot of work to make people pay attention that when you see that, that's a bad thing. And I think that's been to our benefit. But we're just at a place where I think we need to push the envelope further and say, let's dissect that a little bit further. It's kind of like when you tell the person, you know, you don't use the N-word. You know, that's where you start. But then you got to get a little bit further into, like, what are deeper race dynamics? You know, and, like, and how do you really assess, like, when the playfulness is happening and when, it, you know, like, the, but it takes a comfort level. And I don't think as women we're going to reach that comfort level in our physical being until we're able to explore our physical bodies and its power and not be afraid of it or ashamed of it, you know, or just scared of it. And I'm not absolutely a proponent for, like, boxing is the best. But the dialogue is interesting to me, you know, when people find it, you know, too violent or, and if the conversation's the same when you watch male boxing, great. But I don't know that that's always the case. My dad, when I told him I was making this and working out, he's like, but your face is so pretty. I'd like to say, yeah. No, but I mean, that was his response. Did you have a question, Jay?
I was just going to comment on what you just said. If people last night heard my comment about the Women's Center getting either silent or some...
I've been like stewing on this since Joe told me this last night. I was all like, what? I'm like, okay, so let's say that we, by watching this film, we support the a violent culture, okay? Which is impossible, because when you come and you sit in front of a film and then you start to dialogue about what violence in our culture looks like, how does it play itself out, how do we protect ourselves and move forward and make change and et cetera, then you're doing your part to change that culture. I think of this as the same thing around racism. If I refuse to talk about, if I admonish or I stay away from a film about violence towards African Americans or African, you know, prejudice towards African Americans, what I'm doing is I'm ignoring the obvious thing. And if people can't accept that we live in a violent culture, then they're asleep. We need to spend more time understanding, why are we in a violent culture? Who is it? Is that really violent? Is boxing a violent sport? And I'll tell you, at the amateur level, it's not. When you start to put money on top of it, when you put a capitalist culture on a sport, you start to get violence. When you put sex in and of itself is not violent, but when you include money into that equation, the capitalist sell and trade of a person's body, that's violence. So we have to start thinking a little bit more critically rather than just staying away from. Or even just not talking, silence. And that actually had a question for me to the audience about what's happening in the community that we don't want to talk about this. Is there violence happening here that people just want to back far away from? That to begin a conversation would be a tipping point. And that's just kind of something that's been in my mind. Like, in Minneapolis, violence is a part of our daily lives. Not because there's like rampant crime and drive-bys and all that, although that does happen. It's what you got to figure out. You don't live in the city and not have to figure that out. And I think that, you know, maybe that's something that's different here in this community. I have no idea, but it was a question that I had. Maybe somebody could in the audience could respond to my question.
I don't know if this is exactly related, but I'm new to St. Paul. So I'm not familiar with the and so when I came here, I was told that we had a female hockey team. I was like, really? Get some women out there doing hockey too? Like, I just had this, you know, only associated with a male sport. And so maybe that's the difference. Like, you know, because we all watch, well, not we all, but most people watch the Super Bowl, and that's a violent game, and we don't find that right. And then we, you know, but we don't have women to play football. We have women to play hockey or tennis. So I think that difference in, like, the women in what sport they can play. And they're allowed to play certain sports and not allowed to play other sports.
Well, you might be even allowed to, but the social consequence is so great that you don't play.
Yeah.
Like, you don't play rugby because of what comes along with that. But you play volleyball because you look cute in those shorts and everything works out, you know? On the Vixens?
Yeah.
Those broads are tough, too. I'm serious. I think that's well said. And I think it actually, if people hear the term, this is a film about boxing, I think they left themselves vulnerable to their own stereotypes about what that means. And that's, you know, shame on them for not, you know, reading further about what it's about.
But at the same time, I mean, I also have to mention, like, how often have you seen a film that looks at boxing from this angle?
That's
no, but I mean,
different.
But you know, I mean, like, so if people have already seen other boxing films, then I think a natural assumption would be when they see this film coming that it's going to be like other boxing films.
But even, I mean, have you guys seen Raging Bull? Okay, that's like a horribly violent film, right? But you, films are about stories and they're about people and who does that? Who does the boxing thing? Who are these people that are astronauts and teachers and all these other things? And we see these films so we can understand something that we're not familiar with. That's the point. And that's what I think. I mean, there's another film called Shadow Boxer, which, her name just slipped my mind.
Lucia Riker.
Lucia Riker. You know who she is? You know who she is? She's bad. She's awesome. She's amazing. She's like an amazing female boxer and one of the, what I would call like a breakthrough female boxer. And this film, there's a documentary on her and her story, and it's brilliant. And it shows her on in this spiritual journey through boxing that, like, I watched it before we started training, and honestly, it opened up the door to me that boxing could be more than about bloodying someone's face, that it could be this bigger picture about who I am in the world. And if you have a chance to go see Shadow, or you have to get it on Netflix, but it's a great film. And Freddie Roach is her coach, and if you follow boxing, like, Freddie Roach is like one of the premier boxing.